Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Last night, Davey Martinez had decisions to make in the late innings that were going to determine whether or not his Nationals were up 1-0 in the World Series. Two of his three big bullpen decisions worked beautifully. Patrick Corbin, Daniel Hudson made him right. Tanner Rainey struggled a little bit, but he got an opportunity in the seventh. We're in Houston, and we're live, presented by your Washington, D.C. BMW Center. You're locked into Grant and Danny, thanks to BMW. You can lease a 330i X-Drive sedan for $399 a month at your Washington, D.C. BMW Center, or visit BMW Centers for other exceptional lease and finance offers. I found Tanner Rainey after the game, had a chance to talk to him about his outing.
Tanner, you guys are able to pull off the one-run win on the road. Cole on the mound, Max doesn't have his best stuff, seven-day layoff, heavy underdogs coming into the series. Feels very Nationals-like to emerge victorious with all those things stacked against you.
Yeah, I mean, underdogs coming in according to whose standards? I mean, this entire group believes in ourselves. We know that we can do it, so I mean, no matter what the numbers say, who's supposed to win, this clubhouse is what matters. And, I mean, we came in with the idea that we were going
to
win.
Davey goes to you in that seventh, wondering, he's got the option of Corbin, you, whoever else. What does it mean to you that you've, coming out of the LCS, solidified yourself as the guy in the pen ahead of Doolittle and Hudson?
I mean, it's obviously a great feeling, but, I mean, I'll take the ball whenever he wants to give it to me, whether it's the third if something happens or the seventh. Extra innings, up 10, down 10, doesn't matter to me. I'll take the ball when my number's called. And obviously it didn't go the way I planned today, but tomorrow's another day.
This is a fastball hitting team. You pump 100, so that'll be a fun little matchup. On the Springer home run, what happened? What'd you see?
I mean, you fall behind to a great hitter, and I mean, he gets a pitch that he can handle, and that's what he's expecting to do as well.
You got Altuve, swing and miss on the slider. That sequence, kind of same thing, take me through that.
I mean, got ahead early in the count, went 0-2 with two fastballs, and then threw a slider that I actually thought was better the third pitch, and he laid off of it. We ended up doubling up on that, and I mean, got in the chase. I mean, it wasn't anything special. Like I said, I think the slider before that he took was probably a better pitch than the one he actually chased.
On the first of the two walks to Brantley, it looked like the first pitch was a strike. I don't know if that ends up mattering to you or if that lingers, but is that something you're thinking about for a couple pitches after that, or you just leave it in the rearview mirror?
No, I mean, you just got to leave that behind. It's not something you can change. Ball or strike, whatever he calls is what it is. You can't replay that. You can't do anything about it. So wherever the ball was, whatever it is, that's just what you go with.
And then when Huddy comes in and picks you up a little bit, what's the conversation like with him when you see him for the first time?
Oh, I mean, obviously having a guy like Huddy who's been great all year, coming in behind you, gets out of a big situation like that, kudos to him for that. That's a big spot, especially coming in one out, two on. Great job by him, and there's not a whole lot to say to him other than thank you.
Davey's already said, essentially, tomorrow, next time he gets that up, he goes back to you, feels good about you. Curious your mindset now. I mean, relievers have to have these memories like a fish, right, where you get reeled in and you're biting at the next hook. What is your thought if you're coming out of the pen tomorrow?
I mean, take it exactly as I did today. It didn't work out today, but, I mean, you can't sit here and dwell on one outing. I mean, you're going to have a bad one here and there. You've got to be able to forget it and just move on to the next.
Lastly, you guys are up 1-0. Game 2, get another crack at it tomorrow. Give me an idea of the mindset of the club.
Come in tomorrow and win the day. I mean, we believe in ourselves and we know what we can do. So come in tomorrow, like we've been saying since May. Go 1-0.
Couple of takeaways for me from Rainey there. First, almost everyone on this team now speaks like Davey Martinez.
Yeah, it's a language they talk. I mean, that's what it is.
Just win the day, go 1-0, stay in the fight. That's well said. It's like a lexicon, but it's there. You speak English, you speak Spanish, you speak Nationals.
I also speak Nationals, yes.
Right. So that was the first thing that stood out to me. The second thing that stood out to me there is, I guess you could just dismiss it as, oh, he's saying what you would think he's saying. You don't know how he's actually feeling. He seems extremely confident. Like, I love his demeanor. And it's one of the things, really, that the Reds thought very highly about him for before they traded him to the Nats for a starter in Tanner Roark. But it is something I think that the Nationals were enamored with when they targeted him in that trade, is he's got that closer mentality of, I'll go back out there tonight in game two and I'll be just fine.
He's unbothered. The Reds gave up on him because he couldn't hone his mechanics and throw strikes consistently, right? I mean, think he was their version of Henry Rodriguez, just down on the farm throwing 100, but no idea where it was going. He couldn't locate. The walk rate was terrible. He struggled. So they said, fine, we'll trade for a guy that we'll trade away in a few months, a journeyman right-hander in Tanner Roark. And now Randy's pitching for, you know, the Nationals in the World Series here. And from the Nats' perspective, guys like that are always a great change of scenery candidate, right? Somebody with a thunderbolt for an arm that could throw 100, you get your mitts on him and see if one of your guys, maybe it's the roving pitching instructor, maybe it's Paul Menhart, maybe it was Derek Lilliquist, whoever it was, you say somebody can get through to this guy and give him one little key to simplify his mechanics, and then that 100-mile-an-hour fastball with a 90-mile-an-hour slider can eat a little bit, and it's happened this year. You really saw the progression of Rainey go from, ah, well, let's see what happens with, you know, if Rosenthal doesn't work or if Bearclaw doesn't work, maybe we'll give Rainey a shot. Now it turned into Rainey's a trusted guy at this point, and I'm with you. I think the team has confidence in him.
That was Rainey post-game after a Game 1 win. Before the game, we caught up with Mike Rizzo, Ryan Zimmerman, Gerardo Parra, and others during our pregame show, but we particularly enjoyed our conversation with Brian Dozier. First time we ever met Dozier, who's going to get a start at some point, you'd have to imagine, in this series at second base, was at spring training this year, and he told us he had a 2-year offer he turned down to sign a 1-year $9 million deal with the Nationals because he thought he'd have his best chance to get back to a World Series after losing in the series last year with the Dodgers. We started our convo where we left off in spring training, talking about him calling his shot.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind of a season. An awesome one, a fun team, great character on this ball club. That's what drove me here. And then you look up 8 months later and we've got a chance to win a ring. So I know what it feels like to go away from a World Series and come all this way and not win one. So I just want to win one.
How do you balance it, right? You know what got you here was some of that chemistry and how much fun you guys are having versus these enormous amount of, like, pudgy idiots like me on the field asking you questions, right? You know it's a big deal, but you also know how you guys got here. How do you balance that?
We got a lot of veterans on the team that's been there, done that, a handful of guys that's played in these types of games, and guys that's been around. We're the oldest team in baseball. I think that says a lot to dealing with the guys like you said, per se. But
you left out the word pudgy, which was nice.
Yeah, you know what? You know, nowadays you can't really say that because...
We look like you when we dance to Calma shirtless. A lot of muscles.
I would agree with that. Let's go ahead and just do it now.
Yeah, let's just start.
But no, it's been fun, and I know there's a lot of stuff that comes with being in the World Series, but you look at our group that we're not really focused on the pudgy guys. We know what it takes to win baseball games between the lines, so we're excited.
Lastly, real quick, I know you got to get to the cage. As far as playing in this game, do you give like a Hoosier speech having been here a year ago where you say, you take everyone out there with the tape measure and you say, still 60 feet 6 inches? I mean, there aren't that many guys on this team that have played in these games.
Yeah, it's not really a Hoosier speech per se, but it's more along the lines of making sure we have all the bases covered in every single aspect of the game. And I'm not talking about just like the fundamental side and, you know, the everyday kind of stuff, but something that goes beyond that, that adds up to little things within the game of baseball that that you have to be on top of to order to win these games. And I think not a Hoosier speech, but just making sure everybody has their ducks in a row as far as that's concerned.
Brian Dozier with us on Grant and Danny's pregame from the ballpark yesterday. I have professed already on the show, and I think anybody who's followed us all season long knows how much I love Juan Soto. It's just irresponsible and out of control, and he's 20 and I'm 31, and there's a big age gap between us, as you know. But age is just a number.
Age is just a number. It's about how you feel.
That having been said, if you wanted to do the what National do you want to go to a cookout with and hang with for the day, you know who my answer is.
You're a Dozier guy.
I love. And what's funny is, so my buddy, Kyle Gibson, who I've known since he was at Missouri years and years ago, has pitched for the Twins the last several seasons. And I used to, I mean, we argue about everything all the time. Like, he's texting me about bunting already and sending me his stuff. He's analytical pitcher for the Minnesota Twins. We argue about baseball all the time, and a smart guy, kind of helps me think about the game different ways. Long story short, last year the Twins and the Orioles got into this little brouhaha at the beginning of the season, and I was so mad, and Brian Dozier was in the middle of it. And he's kind of Team America World Police, where everything has to be just so, and he's the old guard.
Put your head down and run, right, kind of right. thing, yeah.
And so I used to just kill Dozier to him all the time. And he'd talk about, dude, if you knew Dozier, like,
you knew Doge.
Greatest guy ever. I'm like, okay, if he's anything like Brian McCann, you know, keep him away from me, Team America World Police.
Uh-huh.
I just want to hang out with Dozier. He is such a dude.
You imagine
I love him.
Dozier and Kendrick in the offseason, just with a couple craft beers.
Yeah.
On the grill. You know, they're taking turns flipping the meat. Like, that, you tell me that wouldn't be the greatest. Just wear like a funny dad shirt.
So, the way I would describe it is Juan Soto, already probably second to Max, is my second favorite National ever and creeping up closely on number one. Brian Dozier, the guy I want to hang out with.
I like those rankings.
What do you mean Juan Soto going to do? Like, lift weights?
No.
You know what I mean?
Well, he could.
He could lift weights.
You go, nice job, buddy. Good form. Good form.
Grant and Danny on the fan. We'll hop back to the calls next. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. One thing we haven't gotten to yet is game two tonight and your expectations. How much of a chance do you give the Nats against the 107-win Astros team on the road to come back to D.C. up 2-0? We talked about just getting a split. Well, at worst, they've done that. Can they get a Game 2 win tonight? How will they do it if they're able to? Get to your thoughts next on The Fan.
Here's the offer. You buy two, you get two free, and 0% financing for 60 months. Now, here's the deal. Window Nation is great at what they do. They've done work on my home, done work on Grant's home. They are spectacular. Over 150,000 windows just last year. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. Over 10,000 online positive reviews. It's no accident. Window Nation is great at what they do. Let them help you.
Yeah, I want to reiterate that they've got 97% customer satisfaction ratings. I was satisfied, so was Danny. He mentioned those 10,000 online positive reviews. Again, the offer right now is great because the elements are about to get bad. Weather is about to stink. So it's now or never time for your windows. Buy two, get two. Get two free windows with every two you buy. There is no limit. If you buy four, you're getting four free plus 0% interest for 60 months. That's five full years if you get installed before the holidays. Do that right now at 866-90-NATION. Tell them we sent you. 866-90-NATION. Tell them G&D sent you or windownation.com. We only covered the Danny Ruye Irish goodbye very limitedly at the start of the show today. I would take some calls at Grant H. Paulson. It's not worth a full-on poll, I don't think, Danny. I don't think it's worth a poll.
That's not poll worthy.
No.
It's not sponge worthy.
But some at replies that could deem how the people are feeling and maybe a thumb and a Darway in. Somebody, I think, wants to get through on the phone to talk about this.
Very determined.
We'll get to your calls at 800-636-1067. But here's what happened. I'm going to throw it out here. We could play Is It Weird, but it'll take too long and it's a World Series day. Brian Peck's rejoiner, while great, probably is a little longer than we have. So I'll just get into it, and then I'll get a quick ruling from Dar and Thom. And if you want to tweet me, you can, at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny. End of the game last night. I'll call it an honor. It was really, really cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
A privilege to be a part of the broadcast with Charlie and Dave and pull a Craig Heist and be the guy who gets to do the interview on the field right after the win. So I run down, I interview Sean Doolittle, I come back up. I'm not exaggerating at all when I tell you, and you can ask Jack Hicks, I was back upstairs about 6 minutes after the game ended, maybe less. I'm trying to be as kind of realistic as possible, but maybe it was four or five.
Okay.
I interview Doolittle. I walk off the field. There's an elevator almost immediately. I get the elevator. I come right upstairs. Just to give you an idea, there were still reporters going down in the same elevator, getting on for 10 minutes after I got up. Everyone was waiting as I got off the elevator to go down to the locker room.
It was the second wave to go down because it's a packed press box.
So it's been maybe 5 minutes since the game ended. I come back upstairs, and it's just Charlie and Dave in the booth with Jack Hicks. And so I'm packing up my bag, and I'm thinking Danny's in the bathroom. So I said to Jack, I said, hey, where's Danny? thinking either we're going to try to go to the clubhouse to do interviews, or maybe we're going to just go home to our hotel that we're both going to together. He's like, oh, he probably ran to the bathroom. I said, you're sure he didn't leave? I'm sure. It's like 5 minutes goes by, and I still don't see Danny. I'm thinking, oh, he must have gone down to the clubhouse. I guess I'll walk down that way. And I text Danny, and I say, hey, man, where are you at? And you responded?
See if I can find the exact quotation for you.
Notice, Danny did not text me at any point. There was no, he contacted me and said, I'm leaving. It was me texting him being like, hey, dude, where should I meet you?
Grant at 11:03. Where are you at? Me 3 minutes later. I took off. Walked about a mile to get away from all the traffic. I'm trying to grab an Uber now.
Just gone.
So here's... now.
You are the king of the Irish goodbye.
In so general, yes, I do, and I advocate for it.
I cannot say that I am shocked, but just because I wanted some post-game fellowship after the good guys had won a World Series game, and we're going back to the hotel together, and we've got to find an Uber or a taxi. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be expensive. I figured we would do that together.
So here's where I'm at on this.
Or maybe you would have just texted and said you were leaving.
Well, let me... and again, you're accusation or characterization of me as the Irish goodbye ruler and champion is 100% correct. I'm not running from that. In fact, I embrace it and advocate for it. I could have stayed around and said goodbye for 45 minutes like my wife at a wedding. I choose to have the path of least resistance. So my thought process actually on this was, I didn't think you'd be done as quick as you were. I thought you were going to be down there, and you were, and I'm not going to like text you in the middle, like trying to grab Sean Doolittle, like, hey man, what is your plan for departure? Like, you're doing things on the broadcast.
You're thinking this is like a 25 minute operation.
Even longer. And that was my own ignorance, and that's my fault. I actually thought you were going to be going back and forth, and they're like, let's go down to the field. And like, Grant's got like four different people that he's going to be talking to, and you're pulling this guy out. I didn't know it was a 5 minutes wham, bam, thank you, madam. Right. So that's the first thing. Second, we didn't get clubhouse passes. We didn't get those, and we were supposed to,
it's
another thing that's happened that hasn't gone according to plan, but we didn't get them, so I go, I can't go to the clubhouse, I have no role in the post game. I've been in the way in Charlie and Dave's suite the entire night, where Dave wants to throw something away, has to like push me aside, step over Bob Carpenter, like go between your legs to find the trash can. I'm like, I'll just clear the hell out of here. So now I'm in the walkway outside, I'm like, well, the exit is one flight down right here. I'll just get the hell out of here because we got to get up and do another show and have another, 14-hour day tomorrow. And again, no one should feel sorry for us, but it's like I'd like to do a good show tomorrow.
So just know.
So I zipped out.
I'm not killing you for this by any means.
No, I understand.
I was just surprised is all.
I get it.
I'm not even going to do the parent bit where I go, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed. I was just surprised. I just got up there and I kind of looked around and Jack's like, no, he definitely didn't leave. He didn't say anything.
Couldn't have left, right?
And I'm like, he might have, Jack. Like, this is what he does. And he's like, no, seriously, I'll bet you he didn't leave.
I will say I am a leaver. And so I'll tell Jack tonight when we see him.
Right.
Who, by the way, saved our broadcast. We could go into that for later reasons.
I love Jack, yeah.
I love Jack so much. I'm going to explain to him, I do just leave. Instead of like waiting around for Jack to go to commercial break, like, okay, man, I'll see you later.
Yeah.
He's busy. Everyone's busy. I serve no purpose. I know my role. I shut my mouth and I'm out of there.
So you could tweet me at Grant H. Paulson if you'd like. I'd be curious. Thoughts on Danny after, look, we spent literally all day together and we have pretty much spent two straight days together. So you could very well also just be tired of me and need a few minutes away from me.
Not at all.
I'm not saying that was the case. I'm just saying you could potentially need that. This is not like me being like, we need to ride together. It was just, you didn't say, hey, I'm leaving.
You didn't say
I'm not going to be here. Don't wait for me. Don't look for me before you go get an Uber. There was nothing. There was no correspondence.
Yeah.
Whatsoever.
No, there was not. There was no notification. And
which was an interesting development.
Well, now I know that you're going to be done way more quickly.
Very quickly. The other thing, though, is if we want to go, like if you want to come with me in a clubhouse, we could do that tonight. Or we could just bounce. It just depends on, do we want to get a couple minutes with Tanner Rainey or not?
Well, I definitely do. I'd like to do the clubhouse bit, but we didn't get those passes despite several very stern emails from adults at Entercom.
There's always ways to troubleshoot, though.
Yeah.
All you got to do is, I got in last night.
You did?
There's two ways to get in anywhere, basically. You'll carry a ladder and just walk somewhere. Or the second thing is you just act like you know where you're going. And if someone asks questions, you just talk really fast and keep walking. Those are the two best ways to do things.
You're a big talk really fast typically. And keep walking guy. Okay, thank you. Yep, no problem.
I'm just going to be doing what I need to do. Thank you. See you later. Quick ruling, please, from Thom and Dar back in studio on Danny's Irish goodbye.
I'm going to say it's not weird at all. It's par for the course. It's what he does.
Okay. No one is saying it's not what he does. Should I have been surprised, I guess, is the first question. How should I have reacted is the second question.
You should not have been surprised, and I think you did act appropriately.
Okay, very good. Thommy?
I would say not surprised that Danny left, because we all know, I mean, and especially with baseball games in the playoffs, Danny has a history of weird behavior, like not going to game two at Wrigley Field after
there
you guys.
There has been some weird behavior.
Is it Nats Park, in fairness?
We're sent to Chicago to go to the game and cover the game. Danny didn't even show up. He was somewhere in Wrigleyville having a cubby dog.
That's not true.
No, he's thinking of, okay, so there was game two where Danny didn't go to Nats Park, didn't watch the game, and found out at the airport before we flew to Chicago that Ryan Zimmerman hit a homer and the Nats won.
Right.
But the one he's thinking of is when you and Dar were considering not going because it was cold and wet or whatever that was.
No, it was getting rained out. The game got rained out. We knew it was getting rained out. There was no way they were playing. So we're not taking the trip all the way up there. This game is getting banged, and we didn't go to that, to the rained out game. So that's what happened. We didn't go to the game. They got rained out.
I say all that to say that I'm not surprised that Danny left as soon as the final out happened. I would be a little upset, Grant,
yeah,
if I didn't get a text saying, hey, you're going to have to grab your own Uber. Why don't you wait a little while?
I was thinking. The leaving thumb was like, oh, Danny left. Of course he left. Normally, though, he would text and be like, I'm gone. Or like, see, and even still, I would get that text and I'd be like, man, that's weird.
Right.
But then I would be like, at least I know.
The fact that you guys are
at least I got closure.
The fact that you guys are going to the exact same place from the exact same place, I feel like you should have maybe worked out getting a ride somehow.
And oh, by the way, in a city where everyone's looking for a cab and an Uber, like Danny said, he walked a mile.
Yeah, I walked a mile.
I did the same. Like, it was not easy to get a car. So, not to mention, this is my own thing, and this is something you don't care about at all, Danny. But, like, it would have been nice. Now we just sound like a married couple a little bit.
Wait a minute. You know what I appreciated? Some consideration.
You know what I would have?
You never listen.
You know what I would have really appreciated?
What's that, honey?
What would have been nice.
Hey, hon.
I wanted to go have a drink and sit at one of the bars that was hopping right outside of the ballpark. And just, I don't know, think about the fact that my ball club just won a World Series game.
Indeed.
That wasn't an option anymore with my pal Danny Ruhier, because I don't know where the hell he is.
Danny wants to sleep. That's what he does on road trips.
That's true. That's true. By the time I got back to the hotel, you were nestled in your little bed.
And we need to talk about what you did last night, too. I know we got a break now, but you did something that is without precedent.
Oh, that was a move.
I still can't believe it.
I'll tell you what I did groggy. Last night. We can do that next, and we'll get to the calls. Will the Nats win tonight? How do you feel about game two? Verlander, Kate Upton's husband, against Steven Strasburg. We're Grant and Danny. The Red October, the Nats are providing us on The Fan. Presented by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable. Business grows with PVI. Visit their showroom in Frederick, Maryland, or online at PVI.com today. Yeah, the thing I did yesterday could be the beginning of a movement. We've got some ideas on this next on G&D.
It's huge. They waited a long time to get to this position. I'm super happy that I'm a part of it. And we're elated to be here, really. I mean, just, you know, the city, the fans, you know, we got the Capitals wearing helmets when player of the game. They, you know, they got name tags up there, you know, with the big W on there. I mean, the city's going crazy. So what can I say about, you know, and I'll keep going back to those guys in that clubhouse.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Davey Martinez has the Nats 3 wins away from a World Series championship. Let that sink in for a second.
Go 500, you win the World Series.
If you do nothing else today, think about the fact that the Nats, if they can win 3 of their next 6 games, will win the World Series.
I mean, listen, Houston is not going quietly. They are excellent, but man, oh man, it is tangible. It is possible. It is a piece of fruit that you can almost grab.
So, everything you said is right. I mean, the Astros are a tough out. The Nats have won nothing yet. I guess that's not true. They've won a game.
They won a game.
They've accomplished nothing in this series yet. And anybody who's counting their chickens, when you have one egg at this point.
Eggs. Eggs only.
We don't have chickens.
I don't want to have to do the egg speech again. Don't you make me do that egg speech again.
What do we have, Danny? Do we have chickens or do we have eggs?
We have eggs. We have the possibility of chicken. Only eggs.
All you need to know is don't get overconfident and overzealous. Get ready to watch the game tonight. Listen to pregame 6 to 7:30, Charlie and Dave, 7:30 on. But the Nats are three games away from a title. Live from Houston, G&D presented by Washington, D.C.'s BMW Center. Lease a BMW 330i X-Drive sedan for $399 a month at your D.C. BMW Center. Visit BMW Centers for other exceptional lease and finance offers. You'll hear our pregame interview with Mike Rizzo, kind of painting with a broad brush on the team and how far they've come and his confidence in his group in the World Series, so all still timely and relevant. In just a few minutes, if you missed our interview with Rizzo from yesterday on pregame in the evening. Let's go to Fred and Olney on line two. Fred, you're on Grant and Danny. How are you?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
We can.
Okay. Okay. In terms of tonight's game, I'm very optimistic. I have one data point and an observation. The data point is I was down at spring training. Verlander was pitching, and Carter Kieboom hit two home runs in that spring training game. Not
That's
a big
recall.
Thing,
I
but,
forgot
you
about
know,
that.
Wow. It's indicative. It's indicative of something. I don't know what. And the other thing is, look, Strasburg, he's been lights out for about 2 months now. Of course, that's not as long as Cole was, like, you know, lights out, but we still beat him. But, you know, we're all hedging here.
Thanks, buddy. I don't know if Carter Kieboom hitting two home runs off Justin Verlander is indicative
early
of anything.
In early March matters, but I like it.
Other than he hit two pitches over the fence. I guess that's what it's indicative of to me. But, yeah, I'd forgotten about that memory. People sleep a little bit on how much the Astros and the Nats play in spring training. They
that's
haven't
right.
played since. They didn't play this season. They played last year. But they share a ballpark in West Palm Beach. So when we go down to spring training, you show up at the complex. You drive down this, like, long paved road with palm trees on either side. And you go left, and that's the Astros part of the premises. And you go right, and that's where the Nationals train. So this is for pink slips. The loser has to leave West Palm Beach Ballpark.
Yeah, they ask you, which way do you want to go? And we're always like, we got to go to the Nationals side.
Let's go to the curly W.
We got to go to that side, to the right side.
By the way, how many terrible bits already? Local TV and in elevators talking to strangers. You guys like the Nationals?
Yes, we do, from D.C.
You know what that curly W sign looks like to me, their logo?
I haven't heard this. Tell me what you think it looks like.
I'm waiting for anything other than what they're about to say.
Uh-huh.
They goes, you know what that W looks like? It looks like the Walgreens logo.
The Walgreens logo.
How many people have said that to you today?
19. And
I tried to tell you when I went to St. Louis, everybody does the same thing. Everyone does it. And I've honestly heard it more in Houston.
Well, the local news on in our studio here in Houston was doing like a man on the street bit. Let's find out about our opponents. We went into a local deli and asked three rubes, what does this look like to you?
Yeah. And they're like, it's signs.
They're like,
which one's Walgreens? Which one's the Nationals?
I tell you, it looks like the convenience store where you get your milk.
Like, okay, rube. Right. How about that team's up 1-0 on the World Series and sent 43,000 home with their you-know-whats between their legs sad last night? How about them apples? How about we beat your ace last night? How about that? How about you're the biggest overdog in 12 years, and you got slapped around last night?
You
how about that?
You could have said tails between their legs.
I was going for something else.
Oh. Between their legs?
You got it. I don't want to get too graphic, but I'll explain it to you during the break.
Okay.
You and I are kind of like a married couple. I'll tell you what. I'll go to the bathroom and show you what it looks like. It's disgraceful.
It wouldn't be the weirdest thing we've experienced together on this trip.
Not even in the last 24 hours. Oh, tell people what you did last night real quick. Can you please? I know we're late.
Yeah. We'll play the Rizzo interview next segment.
This was amazing.
And we'll take a few more of your calls. So the reason I did it, I don't even know if I've gotten into the details in full yet. I'm sitting there watching the game, and I thought to myself, if the Nats win, I will do 30 minutes on the elliptical after the game when I get home in the hotel. And I'm like, probably not going to do that, but they're probably not going to win. So then as they won and Juan Soto had the huge game that made them win, I realized, I was like, you know what? Soto was working out after midnight after a game last week. Why can't I do that? So I'd eaten terribly all day.
Sure.
I've done no exercise for months. Why don't I go down to the elliptical after I got home and get a workout in?
I want to stress this. I'm in bed, winding down, last couple tweets, watching the Caps highlights, figuring out, you know, my plan for tomorrow, what time I'm waking up for breakfast, what's the deal? Brush my teeth. I'm ready to go night-night, sleeping sound. I'll have the sound machine queued up. And Grant is he's like just pacing around. He's like, can you believe that? I'm like, no, it's unbelievable. It's awesome. How much fun. This is so cool. And he goes, very matter-of-factly, I'm going to go downstairs. I'm going to get a workout in. I'm probably too jacked up to sleep. But, so, try to be quiet when I come back up. And I'm like, what? I mean, you said it so matter-of-factly that I'm like, am I dreaming?
No, after games like that, I can't sleep. So I was either going to stay there and just be on my phone for 2 hours, or I was just going to go down and see what I could do.
Just burn it off, man.
So 30 minutes on the elliptical, couple of weights. Then I went on with Chris Russell after that at like 2 in the morning or something.
Russell's texting at like 12-something, and I'm fast asleep, and I missed that, I guess. Sorry.
So here's my idea, though. I didn't want to do it last night because I thought it would be super embarrassing and everyone would make fun of me. But I think this is actually a cool idea. I was going to post a picture and say new bit throughout the play, like the World Series or whatever. Anyone after a game who goes and gets a workout in after midnight, we call it sodoing.
Sodoing.
And you like send me just a gym selfie of sodoing.
Now, as a society, we don't have enough gym selfies, so I encourage this.
So that's the bad part about it, but I kind of like the idea of sodoing.
No, I do like
it's
that.
It's like
I
blowing off steam after one of these games.
Because you're so jacked up.
Yeah, so I think it could be my routine, pending tonight's result. Maybe I'll just feel like laying down and sleeping.
You get a pump in.
But the idea is if you go work out after one of these games, you call it sodoing, in honor of Soto post-midnight working with Kevin Long in the cages. You'll hear from Mike Rizzo. We'll get the final few calls out of the way next, and we'll make our predictions for Game 2, Verlander, Strasburg, as we set the table for our pregame at 6 o'clock tonight. Charlie and Dave, 7:30. Of course, first pitch at 8. Chad Dukes versus the world coming up at the top of the hour. All the coverage of the Nats right here on The Fan. This Red October throughout the month presented by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable. Business grows with PVI. Visit their showroom in Frederick or online at PVIPVI.com today.
It's the Nationals, everybody's talking about the Nationals, the Nationals, everybody's talking about the Nationals.
We got the best coaches and hitters too. You know they're gonna score a lot of runs for you. So go on out to the park today. Cause hit me up, coach, I'm ready to play.
It's the Nationals, the Nationals. Everybody's talking about the Nationals. Nationals, the Nationals. Everybody's talking about the Nationals.
We're seeing playoff time is here again. Go tell your family, go tell your friends. Come on down to the park today. The Nationals are going all the way.
Nationals, the Nationals.
Grant and Danny. Final furlong on 106.7 The Fan. Today's show live from our intercom station in Houston. Presented by Washington, D.C. BMW Center. Lease a BMW 330i X-Drive sedan for $399 a month at your Washington, D.C. BMW Center. Or visit BMW Centers for other exceptional lease and finance offers. Mike Rizzo on the field during batting practice ahead of Game 1 yesterday on our pregame show. Many of you haven't heard this. He was very confident in his team in Game 1 and is very confident in their chances in this World Series.
Hey, we're glad to be here, man. It's like it's a kind of a surreal experience. I haven't been here for 18 years, so I'm happy to be back.
I was reading a story today in the Washington Post about this idea of the old scouting of the Nationals and the analytics of the Astros. And while I like the juxtaposition, I feel like you guys are, at this point, a lot of both. You scout, but you've got an 8-person R&D development staff as well. Is it fair to say maybe you guys are trying to piece both of those puzzles together?
Well, we are. We are both. Excuse me. We are both. We have been both. We're sneaky techie, and I mean we're under the radar techies. We've got a great staff of extremely intelligent people. that do our analytics. Like I've told you guys in the past, there's not a decision we make on the baseball side that doesn't include and utilize analytics along with our scouts and our evaluators. So we have a good balance, and we like our process. Our process really works for us, and it's a good balance process.
And Mike, you recognize something smart in the market. I think it's now. If you can't rent a car, you can play Major League Baseball, basically, at this point. You got to be 22 or 23 to be on a roster. You guys went the opposite direction and found some great value from some veterans. The oldest club in the sport is usually a negative nomenclature, but here you guys are on the World Series taking advantage of maybe a soft market.
Well, you know, we've got a good core of young players, and we've got players that are in smack dab in the middle of their prime, and we've got some older players, and it's a balance that you have to have when you're doing roster construction. You have to have guys that can kind of fill in. You have guys you can rely on. Davey's done a masterful job of giving them enough playing time to keep them sharp, but not overtaxing them to get them hurt. And it's a good balance and a good mix. And it was a balance and a mix of that's taken throughout the year to process. So we're extremely happy with the guys that we got. You know, some good character guys, but they can really play and they have a skill set that fit nicely for us.
Mike, last one for you, but so we can get you to go to the important GM stuff that you actually have to do before this game. There was a time before you got here where you could be driving around in D.C. and you're one of the Nationals, and you couldn't hear the station that broadcast their games. There's trailers at RFK, and you're just trying to build a fan base. Now we're on the field, 106.7, the Fan is all over this thing, and you guys have a fan base that'll sell out watch parties back home. Have you taken a moment just to reflect on how far this thing has come before this week starts?
No, I haven't, Grant. It's we'll reflect. After we bring the trophy home, we'll reflect on it then. And we're proud of where we've come from and where we're at now. We're young, man. We're just stretching the surface of this stuff. And we're a proud franchise that we feel does it the right way. And we're going to continue to do it the right way. And we're not just satisfied to be in the World Series. We want to win the World Series, and I'll be disappointed if we don't.
That was Mike Rizzo on our pregame show. Our second installment, pregame, Minute Maid Park tonight, starts at 6 p.m. Real quick, we only got about a minute left, so let's be fast. Mac in Arlington, you get one of our last thoughts here. How are you?
Yeah, hey, guys, doing great. Real quick from last night, I haven't heard any media outlet highlight that Trey Turner is the leadoff hitter in the entire World Series, got a base hit off Garrett Cole. About an icebreaker. By number seven, the Nats are 285 against Garrett Cole. So he gets a call out for tonight, back to hitting. You know, we did last night without Rendon, without Howie logging a base hit. Just think what we got in the bank. Looks great.
Appreciate
for tonight.
You. Yeah, Howie.
Thanks, buddy.
You like to think bounces back after last night, your NLCS MVP.
Lined out, good swinger too, yeah.
Jay, DC, how are you?
What's up, guys?
Hey, dude.
Chilling.
Hey, I think now we got a first win. I think now it's time to get greedy. I like what Mike Rizzo said as far as we won't be happy. We'll reflect once we bring the trophy. He didn't say if. He said when. But I want to ask y'all a question. Do you think it's a problem with our starting pitchers being such premier pitchers that they're pitching for strikeouts instead of pitching for, ground balls? Like Max had no ground outs yesterday.
That's crazy. I think that's an outlier. Appreciate the call, buddy. Thanks. We're up against it here. Whatever their starting pitching's done in these playoffs, they should continue to do. They got strikeout stuff. Yesterday was the first time you've had whatever that was. You've had a lot more 6-7-inning gems, so it's not broke. Don't fix it. Steven Strasburg's got a chance to not fix it, hopefully, tonight. The Nats World Series run, Red October's on the Fan, presented by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable. Business grows with PVI. Visit their showroom in Frederick, Maryland, or online at PVIPVI.com today. If you missed Carl Hagelin talking about the Caps plans to watch the Nats, any part of today's show, you can go to thefandc.com/audio. Thanks to Brendan and Tom in D.C.
Our watch is ended.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.